Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
JB.
Tim.
Is your head in the game? Come on.
Possibly.
Phil.
Always.
Shall we, gents?
Let's do it.
One, two, three.
Pod.
Before we get going with the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, can I just make an apology? I'm sorry, Phil, JB, I didn't get the memo about the dress code for today's podcast. Shirt and tie only, I didn't realise, sorry.
All business.
I've got my Oklahoma Sooners shirt on.
Oh, nice.
I'm sorry. So JB's, I don't know how, you sent us a message 2 minutes before we were due to podcast saying, just finished my meeting, I'll be there in two. And you work about 15 miles away.
No, I was in Burnley, Ramsbottom, Burnley, whatever it was. I just hammered it over.
Yeah, which is still about 15 miles away.
Yeah, I guess it is. And the other thing I want to say, is anyone else's spouse doing 100 happy days?
No, thank God.
No, thank goodness mine isn't either. This is something that people do on Facebook, isn't it?
I want to kill myself every time. It makes me wonder, how unhappy is my spouse? Because only people who are truly unhappy would ever do 100 happy days.
Well, it's either very unhappy and trying to convince themselves that their life isn't that bad, or trying to show off about how amazing their life is.
I think there's a little bit of, it's like when people take pictures of their food and put it on Instagram and stuff. It's kind of just broadcasting, my life's great.
It's so narcissistic to think I actually care.
No, do you know what? I would love 100 days of honesty on Facebook. If people just went, I felt a bit depressed. With no one looking, I just ate a whole packet of biscuits and now I feel really guilty about it. No one ever puts stuff like that on Facebook.
I like to put 100 really shallow things, like investments are up again, or something really, really materialistic and shallow.
We've got lots on today's podcast. We've got a fatty 15. We've got some talk about the Commonwealth Games sevens, the Super Rugby semi-finals. We've got a club close-up with a couple more premiership sides. That and more coming up. But Phil is very, very excited because now let's think, what were you doing just under a year ago, Phil? You were playing a bit of rugby when you weren't injured. You were just training and, you know, hooked up with me and JB on this podcast thing. And now you're going to be stood in a room and you're going to be chatting to Hugo Monier, Marlon Yard, Joe Marler and co. You're going to the Harlequins official kit launch.
How are you going to do this? Are you going to make them queue?
Well, I've got like a ticket machine from the local delicatessen.
Oh, nice.
I'll get them all to take
and
a ticket.
And when the number's up. Yeah. You can do it by their shirt number as well, couldn't you?
That's a good way. I like it.
Phil's going to be there on his own this time. He's going solo at the Harlequins kit launch.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It is exciting. It's a bit nerve-wracking. Yeah. It's very interesting, though. I'm really, really looking forward to it because, as we mentioned before, it's Adidas doing the kit this year.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
And we're all big fans of Adidas kits.
I thought there would have been some sort of leakage or something on the internet. I can't find anything. So it's Wednesday morning. It's going to be unveiled.
Yeah, I've searched high and low.
We have said some very nice things about the Harlequins kit, but also about the Adidas kits that they've made for France and Italy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if they did multicolour Adidas stripes? Did they go white and red France stripes?
I think France is just white and red, but the Italy, is it white, red and
it is,
green?
Isn't it?
Green.
Oh, yeah. So nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, so if they could do that, that'd be great. It might be too late in the day to change it, but if they can change it and incorporate that in. I've not had an invitation to the Newcastle Falcons kit unveiling yet. Maybe next year.
Not yet, yeah.
Next week, when all the kit launches are kind of in and ready for the season and a lot of teams are keeping their kit from last year, we'll have to do a league table of stash.
Yes,
definitely. Well, when we've picked our real league table,
exactly, yes,
then we can compare it to the stash league table.
On with what we've got to talk about. Let's get straight to some Super Rugby action because that's the most high level competitive rugby that's going on at the minute. and it was the semi-final time, and there were some good games.
Yeah.
We got up early. Phil made us a lovely... I had a bit of sausage. It was pork and black pudding.
Delicious.
Lovely, lovely roll.
Forgot to make his girlfriend a sandwich. She wasn't happy. He made us sandwiches with a spare sausage on the side, which I thought was crucial. If I dropped a sausage, that would obviously be my replacement. I had to give up that sausage for Claire.
I know, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Claire. I overlooked you. Said
very, very upset.
These two are more important.
He had his head in the game. So we sat down early doors, as you may well have done on Saturday, and were treated to a double bill of Super Rugby action. The first game, let's talk about that one then. Canterbury Crusaders against Natal Sharks.
First thing I noticed, and it didn't really bear out throughout the game, but still, is wasn't Richie McCaw in funny shape?
Yeah.
He looked kind of...
He looked squarer. He didn't have that V-shaped torso.
No, he's kind of like all kind of barrel-chested. His arms looked a little bit smaller. And he's a seven, one of the best sevens in the world, has been for a long time. Dan Carter, one of the best tens in the world for a long time. And they both played out of position. I'm just wondering if they're starting to lose a bit of their stardust.
I think part of that is the requirements of the team, but also that the people who've been playing 10 and 7 have been playing so well that they're having to work their way back in around them.
But let's say, well, Richie McCaw, for one, completely justified his selection. And even with a six on his back and even not quite looking the same specimen that he was in the past, he played a cracking game.
He's just everywhere, wasn't he? Like, even though he can't be as fit as he has been in the past or possibly should be, but he was still everywhere.
I think fitness is one of those things you don't necessarily lose, do you? I mean, you can still run around a pitch for a long time. I think you lose the explosivity, but he's never really been about that.
Well, I'll tell you, I think what he probably has got is, which I think the best player on the pitch, Kieran Reid, had.
Yeah, there's no moving him.
This rugby intelligence. You never see him just aimlessly running about. Whenever he actually exerts himself, he's doing something really crucial and important. And I think that's just what people, real intelligent rugby brains, that's what they bring.
If you watched his positioning for his try, I think he took it up in midfield on the left-hand side of the pitch. The ball went wide to the right. And instead of following it or chasing after the ball, he held his width and just got back, worked back into position so that when he got the ball the second time, he broke the tackle and cantered in, stepping the fullback under the sticks.
Yeah, he did. He beat back, cantered is the word. He didn't look like he was running fast. But
he never does, though.
He broke through a tackle, he gassed it, step. He's some player.
Effortless. We said it a few times.
Yeah, it turned into a bit of a beatdown come the final whistle.
The flying can't help.
Well, come on. It's, what, you're 15 of Super Rugby. You know you've got to fly, so just get on with it.
Yeah,
no, but go a week early. Do something.
Do you know what? And like you say, it's been 15 years of Super Rugby, and I only just factoring it in, when you play one weekend and you've got that level of time difference, because we think about flying around for Heineken Cups, and but actually it's two hours maximum.
Yeah.
Difference.
Yeah. And
that's a totally different proposition, isn't it? Having to travel from South Africa to New Zealand or Australia.
It's like a 11 or 12 hour time difference. Like that will make a huge impact.
That will make a massive difference. And Sharks were never in the game. The other semi-final, it was a bit more in the balance for a bit longer.
Yeah.
I thought this game, this is one I was really looking forward to, but I thought it was kind of disappointing until the last 20 when it just lit up.
Waratahs Brumbies, by the way, if you haven't been following it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say disappointing, but I'd say that Waratahs' defence was just so resolute throughout the whole match that they kind of stifled the Brumbies and they stopped them from really showing their attacking threat.
Now, talk about the sort of ending, because me and Jay left because, I think we'll we'll touch on the jujitsu that Jay took me to go and try out.
So
we left when it was kind of, it looked like Waratahs were going to win, but...
Yeah, I think you left when it was 16-8, and Will Skelton came on. And in that period, that last period, Brumbies were banging on the door over and over again, and they kept on getting little half breaks, and then Waratahs' cover defence was absolutely superb. 5 minutes to go, Brumbies break down the right wing, and you think, they're in here. And somehow, I think the nine, Phipps, gets across, makes the covering tackle. The ball gets thrown inside, and Ben Robinson, the loose head prop, picks it up with space in front of him.
Does he goose step at this point? He does something.
He does. He looks like he's about to unleash and go 80 yards, but he doesn't. He goes about 10, 15 yards, gets taken down. They spread the ball wide. Will Skelton gets an offload, travelling at some pace, breaks...
That break is incredible, actually.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Breaks three or four tackles and starts opening his legs. At this point, my girlfriend walks in the front door and I'm in the front room shouting, "Big man with ball! Big man with ball! Go on, go on!" So he comes up to the fullback. The winger's coming across and he puts a pass across to what looks like no one. I thought he'd messed it up. And then all of a sudden, Bernard Foley steams onto it.
Yeah.
And under the sticks.
It was brilliant.
Absolutely superb try.
Can I just say, I just want to make an observation. As you described that try, Phil, you used the phrase, "he opened his legs." And I just want to say, with the Women's Rugby World Cup coming up, let's make sure we don't use that phrase in relation to any fast wingers. Let's find a different way of putting it.
Did you see the Sky... is it Sky advert?
No.
No, it wasn't Women's World Cup. It was a documentary about women's rugby.
Oh, no, I saw that, yes.
Yes. And what
it's kind of like Living with Lions, but with for England women's rugby
team.
Well,
it's like 30 seconds of clips, but it seems to me they can only get two very short clips of them actually playing rugby. There's one of them drying their hair. I'm not going to watch this. One was drying their hair, and the other one was, what was the other one? Having dinner.
Oh, well, you see stuff like that on Living with Lions and stuff, don't you?
What, them drying their hair?
Not drying their hair so much. Well, you see Matt Dawson stood in front of a mirror looking at himself. Yeah. Yeah. The game where he scores the try, one of the tries that wins the series, before the match, he's standing and his pre-match thing is he stood in front of a mirror. Watch it again. Roll the tape again.
Wow, did not know that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Matt Dawson stares at himself in the mirror. So, hey,
is he topless?
Horses for courses. I don't think he is topless, no.
No, definitely watching it.
Meanwhile, Neil Jenkins is puking. That's how he rolls. So that's Super Rugby. So we've got a pretty tasty final to look forward to.
Yes.
I was going to say, a classic final. It's not a classic final, is it? Because, of course, Waratahs made it.
Yeah.
I thought that,
If Brumbies had made, Brumbies Crusaders would be a classic
Waratahs
final.
Crusaders, how do you see it going?
Well, Waratahs have got home advantage, haven't they?
Mm. I'd like Waratahs to win.
I worry for the Waratahs at scrum time. I think Canterbury will do a job on them.
Do you think? Yeah. I don't think there's anything to pick between the two.
Well, Sharks scrum is superb. And
Canterbury...
The Crusaders held it pretty well.
Yeah, and I almost had a nudge if you had to. And meanwhile, Waratahs struggled a little bit against Brumbies.
Yes.
That Waratahs backline is awesome. It is awesome.
It is.
That Waratahs team is awesome, full stop.
Yeah, there's great players everywhere.
I feel it's a little bit like changing of the guard.
What, with Waratahs being the number one?
Yeah.
But you think about it, it's only a couple of years ago and the Reds were unplayable. Yeah. And they're just dropped out of all recognition.
They finished 13th this year.
Exactly.
The Reds weren't unplayable, but they had a couple of players with the X factor. All you need to do is get into the final four, and then they'd have a chance. They're the kind of team which could implode, and they have.
I'm going to go Canterbury win.
Ooh, away from home.
Away from home, I know, against the odds, but I look at Kieran Reid, and you go Richie McCaw back in with it. That nouse, the nasty, horrible front five they've got. I think they're going to get the job done pretty ugly.
But they don't have Israel Folau and Co.
No, they don't.
They've got Nemanja Nadolo, though, who's pretty dangerous.
Nemanja, it's on. Get over here. Get over to the UK and just let's have some tackling practice with JB.
It's not that. I just feel that he's stoppable because it takes him a good old time to get going. Once he gets going, he's fine. But he's not like a Folau or a North who just... Go. They just turn and go.
Maybe. So you're going for Waratahs then?
I am.
And you, Phil?
Yeah, I think it'll be less than 5 points either way, but I'm going to go Crusaders.
Oh, that's against the... not against the form book, because Canterbury were scintillating in the last game, but that's against the bookies.
Well, it's against the expert. That's what it is.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Now, listen, there was some other rugby going on. It was the scorching weekend. Did anyone bother sitting in and watching the Commonwealth Game 7s?
No.
Really, really?
I saw the second half of the final.
Oh, who was in the final?
South Africa, New Zealand.
Yeah.
What happened to Scotland's dream team? Pathetic. Where do they go? They've got all their really good players. Well, all their players.
I saw the final, that's it. I've not checked anything else. Too busy at... weddings and moving lots of
boxes. They call the Commonwealth Games the friendly games.
Who cares?
There is a little bit of that. And it's... Although Wales have got some medals, Jay. Their most number of medals.
I don't care.
I almost think there's so many medals flying around and it's... It should almost just like make the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony and just have like a load of medals in the hand and just throw them into the people. Just grab one. There you go. You got one. Well done. Or it could be like everyone gets one. It's the friendly games.
Such an odd concept. The ex-colonial games or whatever it is.
Yeah. We came and stole all your natural resources and gave you a bit of
education.
And
culture. Civilization and all the rest of it. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Okay.
And strangely drawn borders.
Oh, we should say thank you very much to all of the contact we've had over the last week on Twitter and whatnot. It's been a lot of fun, actually. We did something last week where we were suggesting, as it's the season of summer blockbuster films, we were suggesting some rugby movies. And lots of people came up with some brilliant suggestions, so I'll just run through a few of them. Tello said, what about a rugby movie? Alex Corbisiero works hard, becomes more mobile, turns into a back row and wraps his way through number 8 mile.
Nice, nice.
Corbs could do that. James Abraham, who is the head of production at BT Sport. Hi, James.
Great
said,
guy.
Bill and Ted's Exeter Adventure.
Ooh.
Which I quite like.
Ooh.
You just need a rugby player called Bill and a rugby player called Ted.
Hang on. Sonny Bill Williams?
Sonny Bill and...
Ted. Is Graham Henry's nickname Ted? I've never made that
yeah,
up.
Yes, yes. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, next one. Rory says, Ronan the Barbarian. Munster legend Ronan O'Gara.
I won't watch that. I'm not watching it.
Hans says, The Hangover, starring Kirtley Beale, Quade Cooper and
nice.
James O'Connor.
Very nice. How did I end up in London Irish?
Danny Daycare. Says
I
James
like
Bub. Danny Kerr gets struck off from Harlequins and opens up a daycare for petulant little children.
Would that be like that? Wouldn't be like the daycare one with The Rock.
Yeah,
a great film. It's anything great. With The Rock is a great film.
This one as well. Trindependence Day, Enigmatroid. Trindependence Day. Henry Trinder establishes his own nation state with dramatic consequences. This one as well. You're gonna have to explain this one to me, boys. I'm completely in the dark about this. Rob has said, two girls, one Rugby World Cup.
I don't know.
I don't get that one. I don't understand that.
Over my head.
Don't know. So thank you very much. And it's at Rugby Podcast. You can get in touch with us. Right, let's do a quick round of Just a Rugby Minute. Obviously, like the thing they do on the radio, Just a Minute, but we're doing it with rugby. We're going to pick a topic for one of the other egg chasers. They're going to try and talk about it for a minute or as long as they can. If they repeat, hesitate, can't say anything, then we move on to the next person. Phil, pick something for JB.
Something or someone?
Anything.
Yeah, something or someone. Rugby related.
Okay. I'm going to go for Ronan O'Gara.
When do I start?
Oh, the sound effect wasn't clear enough.
Sorry.
Go on.
Let's start again.
Go.
Ronan O'Gara is a standoff who plays in Ireland. His team is Munster, and he's had no other association with any
organisation. You reading off the computer?
Since or after. Following his playing career, he moved to Racing Metro.
Hesitation!
Oh!
Tim.
He was responsible for the defeat by the British and Irish Lions in South Africa. All he had to do was kick the ball safe, dead, to touch, and instead he decided to try the old, oh, I'll catch it and step and try and run it. And absolutely bodged up. Ronan O'Gara, though, hesitation. Phil.
He's been capped by the British and Irish Lions many times, ooh, but his most famous moment for the British and Irish Lions was getting his face pounded in by Duncan McRae.
I wanted to mention that.
Well done. Oh, we'll move on. Let's talk fatties. So we did a Peewee 15 a few weeks ago, which led to the suggestion on Twitter that we should do a Fatties 15. And in fact, it came by way of a challenge, didn't it, Phil?
Yeah, the challenge was, can you make a team that weighs more than 2 tonnes? To which I obviously immediately replied...
Let me look at my spreadsheet.
No.
No.
Because 2 metric tonnes is 24.5 stones per man. But a short tonne or a US tonne would be about 22 stones per man.
Oh, that's almost doable.
Which...
Is it doable?
Well, I think it is doable, but you'd have to have some players that you've never heard of.
Right.
Pro French Division 2 or New Zealand ITM Cup you've never heard of.
No, let's keep it household names.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll try and do it household names, but I think, Jay, you also want to give some credit to some people who are horrendously out of shape.
Yeah, exactly. A fatty 15s, it might not be that they necessarily weigh in the scales at the highest amount, but they're just
fats,
carrying a bit of a paunch, maybe. Yeah, well, I reckon we should start at 15. We normally go 1 to 15. I think because the big, big boys are going to be 1 to 3, let's save them at the end. Let's go 15 to 1. So, fullback or back three in general.
Right. Who is the fullback who plays for the Highlanders?
Or the, do you mean the Chiefs?
Chiefs, thank you.
Sweeney. Yeah,
Sweeney.
Well, that's exactly who I've got.
He's a big boy.
He's a big old unit.
No,
he's not actually that heavy. I did look him up.
No, no, but how fat is he?
He's fat. He doesn't look like a fullback.
No.
When I was at uni, there was a lad who was given the nickname As If because he came up looking like a prop but claimed that he was a fullback.
Nice.
So he was called As If because it was as if you're a fullback.
Nice. We've got a couple of guys that have, like that have showed up for Broughton Park this year. I was like, oh, well, we're doing all right for props. And it turns out he's a winger. So I won't mention a name, but yeah. In fact, there's two of them. Well, one of them plays hooker and can also play centre. I was like, I'm not sure about this.
Sounds like you, Jay, threatening your multi-position.
Fullbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Only I can do that.
Fullbacks, one of the areas I found most difficult. Wingers, there's quite a few contenders, isn't there?
So for my heaviest 15, I moved someone who often plays wing to fullback.
Who?
Nemanja Nadolo.
19 stone.
Yeah,
okay.
19 and a half stone.
Yeah. What about amazing guy, used to play in France, Fijian, got lost.
Rupeni Thaufau. I've put him in the centre. So Nemanja Nadolo, 19 and a half stone, 125 kilograms. Rupeni Thaufau, the heaviest I've got him, is 18 and three quarter
stones.
Does anyone
think Alex Good looks a bit chunky?
He does. He's got a very... like solid square body. I know what you mean. I don't think I'd say fat.
I'm not sure of that.
No, he's not fat. He's only quite small as well. He's 85 kilograms.
he's very rotund, I guess.
But you got players like, again, I don't know if you'd use the word like put him in a fatties 15, but just big units. You've got Alassana Tuilagi.
Yeah, 18 and a half stone.
Big old fella.
117 kilograms. Jonah Lomu, obviously.
Yeah.
Of his age.
Imagine how big he'd be if he was coming through now with modern training techniques and supplements and all of that jazz.
So he's the same height as Nemanja Nadolo, but 5 kilograms lighter. So more than half a stone lighter.
Wow. We've got Nadolo in, definitely. We're agreed on that one. Again, fatty's 15, it feels wrong putting him in. He's just a big man.
He was formerly fat. He's looking in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
now
he's looking in much better shape. Rupeni Thaufau, definitely.
At his
fattest.
Yeah.
Do you know, because they signed him and they couldn't, he's meant to report back to training.
Yeah,
and
he went AWOL.
So they had to fly over, like, it took them three or four flights to get there and a day through a jungle trek. And they actually found him in some severe pain with, like, dental infection. So they had to get him back and then spend a fortune on his teeth before he could play.
Do you reckon they just had some... like rhino tranquilizer to try
take him down,
get him on the plane.
Look at the picture.
So
of
Hunter's
him.
1950s.
Look at the picture of him playing.
Oh, for Toulouse.
For Toulouse. Look at big slice.
He had a stint at Toulouse at outside centre.
He still managed to shift. Looking, and also
he shifted well. In fact, if anything, the fat version of him was more impressive than the thin version.
Come on, Matthew Bastereau in the centre as well. Sorry, we didn't nail. Rupeni Thaufau.
Well,
you moved him to centre.
My back three was Alassana Tuilagi.
Yeah, got him.
18 and a half. Jonah Lomu, 19. Yeah. Nemanja Nadolo, 19 and a half.
Yeah. And then, so I would go, if you're putting Rupeni Thaufau in centre, then Matthew Bastereau. Surely he's a nailed on 12.
Definitely. He's near as damn it, 19 stone.
I'm missing
and he
some.
And he just looks out of shape.
Yeah. He could lose 2 stone and be a much better player. Much more dynamic.
No, come on, no, flat no, fly no, half. No. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let JB
say
it.
I don't know any.
Corona time.
No.
Andy Good.
No.
Now.
Come on.
I looked up Andy Good and he hasn't been weighed since his Leicester days. His official listed weight is 97 kilograms.
Which is 15 stone, near as damn it.
Yeah. There is no way He is still 15 stone.
Well, there's clearly a direct correlation between extremely talented players and extremely high weights.
He must have just had it written in it, into his contract that he doesn't have to have
pre-season.
Pre-season.
He doesn't get weighed in.
And he doesn't get weighed in, yeah.
So he hasn't been weighed since, not even towards the end of his Leicester career, since the early days in his Leicester career.
Yeah, it must, very early. When he was 18, first coming in as a schoolboy.
So it's like when you see football transfers and they go an undisclosed fee. It's like, Andy goes in our 15, undisclosed weight.
Undisclosed weight, yeah.
All right. Scrum half as well.
Well, Sean Perry. Why don't we start with there?
He was just solid. He was big.
He was a bit fat.
Was a bit fat. Definitely was a bit fat.
But Perry Weepu.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. When he got
Baron
fat.
Baron Kelleher could put on weight.
Yeah, he could.
He was also stacked.
No, but come on, let me just get the picture up of Piri Weepu after he'd celebrated.
No, you're all wrong. Ricky January. Done.
he did balloon, didn't he?
Ricky January was only about 5'4", though, so he can't have been that heavy.
Piri Weepu, who did it. Well, I mean, if there's ever a time to just balloon in weight, then it's after you're a World Cup winner. You just won the World Cup. I don't care anymore. I'm going on a 4-month bender. Just
good for him.
Eating anything.
So he turned up 10 kilograms overweight, was reported when he came back to the Blues after the World Cup. His normal weight is 96 kilograms, so that puts him 106 kilograms, which is 16 and a bit.
Yeah, that's going from under 15 stone to 16 and a half stone.
Yeah.
That's a bit, I mean, of just bad weight.
Yeah.
He wasn't stone and a half of bad weight.
He wasn't down the gym putting on 10 kilograms of muscle in that time.
Nice. That's good work.
And he carried it all around his head, from what I can see from the pictures. Piri Weepu. That's a massive back line. Piri Weepu, Andy Goode, Matthew Bastereau, Rapeni Falfao, Alassana Tuolagi, Nemanja Nadolo at the back, and the other winger...
Jonah Lomu. So a couple that don't get in, Jamie Roberts, Manu Tuolagi in the centres, are both... Yeah.
Not fat.
Both 10 kilograms too light. Just from a heavy point of view. Yeah, they're not fat. They're 10 kilograms too light. George North as well is more than 10 kilograms too light.
Yeah. George North's got a really interesting shape. He's massive from the rump
huge,
and the legs. And
his
legs and backside are huge compared to his upper body.
Yeah.
I mean, he's big there as well anyway.
But there's not many, when he burst onto the scene, there's not many 18-year-olds with that physique.
No. He's amazing at deadlifts with that core.
Yes,
and that.
I imagine he is.
Yeah.
So here we go then. Getting bigger and bigger. Let's get into the forwards.
Yes.
Number 8. There'll be some big old... Surely Henry Tuolagi's got to be a contender.
Yeah, I've got him down as 128 kilograms, so just over 20 stone.
I feel like we need some sort of music for the forwards. Here we go. There we go.
Nice.
There was a story about Henry Tuolagi when Alassana first turned up at Leicester, because they were in the same conditioning group, but Henry Tuolagi was consistently beating Alassana Tuolagi over the conditioning drills. But it was because... There's a thing in Samoan culture that you're not allowed to build someone who's more senior. Sorry, not allowed to beat someone who's more senior. Who's more senior in your family?
Wonderful.
So Alec Tuolagi was just hanging at the back, letting Henry Tuolagi
win
every time. So they put them in separate conditioning groups after
That's
that.
Absolutely amazing. I love that. So does he make R15? Do you reckon?
He's one of the heaviest I could find, yeah, in the back row.
He's pretty much all good weight. Those Tuolagi boys don't seem to carry an ounce of bad weight.
It's Thomas Waldron. Why have you dismissed Thomas Waldron?
I haven't dismissed Thomas Waldron.
It's a fatty's 15. Stop. Yeah. Well, he's giants.
I have my MO, which is to get the heaviest team.
No, pick the fattest.
No. Thomas Waldron is on my list. And in terms of out of shape...
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's an England international. He must be in shape. He must be really fit.
He must be, right?
He must be.
Look at this picture that comes
up. Wow.
it's all.
That's amazing.
It's all in between the chin and the chest. He's got a straight line between his chin and his chest.
That's incredible.
It's like he's carrying food for his children to regurgitate like a pelican.
With hamster cheeks.
I'd put Thomas Waldron in our fat 15 over Henry Tuolagi.
Of course you would. Why wouldn't you?
Even if we miss our goal of being above a US ton.
Oh, how about Gillian Galan?
Oh, yes. You could shift Thomas Waldron to 6.
See, I don't even need to write these down. They're just coming from the top of my head.
Toulouse's Gillian Gallant, is, yeah, again,
he's a monster. He's like a bear. Not like, you know, he's like a bear.
It must be hard in France to not just gorge on cheese and bread and cakes. So.
Oh, and croissant.
Oh, all the butter in a croissant. Matthew Bastereau and Gillian Gallant.
Although, the paleo community will say, as long as it's grass-fed butter, eat away.
Yeah. His Toulouse profile looks like it's been photoshopped.
It has been photoshopped. No,
he looks a lot slimmer than he does actually on the pitch.
He looked like a right mess when he played at Saracens, but he looked awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
So, that's what rugby.
Ooh. He's 19 stone, Gillian Gallant.
Let's put him in. Gillian Gallant is at 8, Thomas Waldrum's at 6. Unless you can come up with someone better.
Probably.
Well, I can come up with heavier, but not as out of shape.
The Macca boys must be heavier.
Edwin Macca.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Edwin Macca is listed as 142 kilograms. That's,
now, Edwin Macca,
that's over 22 stone.
I wasn't allowed to say this on one of the podcasts, so I'll say it now instead. Edwin Macca, when we did our Criminal 15, was charged.
I've got control of the microphones. Careful what you say.
Was charged for keeping a slave. Seriously, look it up. He kept a...
Oh, wait, no.
He was released without charge.
Yeah, I don't think it's Edwin Macca, because Edwin Macca is only 21.
Oh.
It would be one of them.
Let's find out, shall we?
I think he was released without charge.
Well, let's find out.
Keeping a slave.
Let me go to my good friend Skynet.
Presumably to feed his brother.
Macca, Finau Macca, slavery.
Finau Macca, it is.
Denied charge of modern slavery. Wowza.
Let's move on. Waldron goes to 7, Macca to 6, and Galana 8.
Yeah.
Second rows.
Okay, so you mentioned...
Jonathan Mills.
Jonathan Mills.
Yeah.
I meant to mention this after I watched the Leicester Sale game ages ago. He is so out of shape.
Yeah.
He's all round his hips. He's got normal-sized shoulders and then just this big, spare tyres around his hips.
He works hard. He's got a good engine. He does keep going. Jonathan Mills does stick his head in places and do a lot of work, a lot of grunt. But he does look like he could lose a couple of kgs.
How about another Welshman? Gavin Quinnell.
On my list.
Was he?
As Craig Quinnell, Gavin Quinnell, take your pick.
Jonathan Mills is listed as under 18 stone. That can't be right.
No, it can't be right.
Could he just have one of those body shapes that's a little bit squarer and doesn't do the V shape? Maybe that's what it is with some of these guys. They just... that their bone structure doesn't allow for the EPS, V, and
yeah,
it's a very, very kind interpretation.
Yeah,
very kind.
Misguided interpretation.
Yes.
I would say.
We got any more contenders for second row?
Well, some heavy, like Will Skelton. You mentioned is the heaviest person playing in Australia at the moment. He's 100.
Yeah, because like Cudmore must be really heavy as well.
I don't think he's that. I think he's 18, 19 stone.
He's in awesome shape.
Yeah, he is in awesome shape. Thanks for reminding me, Tim. I'll look that up in a bit. So Will Skelton's 137 kilograms, so 21 and a half.
Sorry, do you want to talk about Jamie Cudmore anymore? You and him on a bareback horseback ride up to the mountains.
Swinging on one of his swinging chairs,
maybe
overlooking
fishing.
The sea.
Fishing, but maybe you're a bit inexperienced and... Jamie's done this loads of times on the Canadian rivers, so...
That's right.
He's sitting behind you. With his arms reaching around and showing you how to cast a line.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Right.
Chase me.
Shall we get into the front row or is there any more?
Ollie Cone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big boy.
Yeah, really big. 6'9", 21 and a half stone.
He's like an old school rugby player. He would have been an awesome player, even better than he was in like the 70s and 80s, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He should also get in the Fatty's 15 because he owned the Jolly Hog sausage roll company.
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
He did.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's definitely, he can supply the team with the
Ollie Cone and Jonathan Mills and Ollie Cone.
Big slice. Big slice indeed. Let's get the calipers out.
let's get into the front row then where the really big boys are.
Okay.
Now I've got a left field suggestion. The schoolboy New Zealander, 18 years of age.
Oh, yeah.
Who's 135 kilograms, over 23 stone. Just celebrated his 18th birthday, and his name is Taniela Tupu.
Yeah, you're a big fan of his.
Oh, yeah. A bit of a YouTube sensation. Watch out for him in an All Blacks jersey soon.
Yes, definitely. I did see something recently. He'd been overlooked for there, either under 18s or under 20s.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair on the rest of the world.
Needs to fill out.
But come on then, the real big boys. Well, Fatty 15, Ivy and Lewis Roberts.
Oh yeah.
Get him in.
Well, how about Darren Morris?
Yeah.
There you go, you've got two Welshmen. Thing is about Ivy and Lewis Roberts, his teammates speak really, really highly of him. People that I know that have played with him speak really, really highly of him as a player and don't...
Does that make him thinner?
Don't seem to think he's out of shape. But
what?
Carries it just around his
face.
Who is
he? Darren Brown? I'm not out of shape. No.
Yeah,
he is out of shape. He's a very good player, but he's out of shape.
He's horrendously out of shape.
It was the time that he went to Toulon and you've gone like, you're playing with the best players in the world. Have a bit of discipline.
Yeah. Just follow the worst one around and do what he does.
You're being paid a fortune to go and do this. Just, come on, shed that those extra kilos. What a player he'd be.
Darren Morris had a notorious problem with food. Like, just couldn't stop eating. That was the sort of story behind him. Actually, more Welsh props. You would say Jones isn't in great shape. I mean, you could make that argument.
He is not in great shape.
Come on, guys. I'm going to turn my computer screen around, and there's one guy that we've not talked about yet. I know we're going to see.
Oh, Matt Dunning!
Yeah, where's the KFC picture of Matt Dunning is very good.
Matt Dunning. I mean, he did lose a lot of weight. But there was a period where he was an Australian international, just looking outrageous. That's the picture that got turned into the KFC picture.
Oh yeah,
Martin Madden. Martin Madden was a slice.
Yeah, that's the one. The McDonald's, not KFC.
I'm going to tweet this picture again in honour of our Fatty 15. A picture of Matt Dunning. Someone's doctored the rugby ball, so he's holding a massive Big Mac and two portions of fries.
Look at the size of him. Look at the size of Martin Madden. That's a big slice.
He's a big boy.
Do you know what, though? Sometimes these guys look really massively fat. Well, they are massively fat. But if they can move, it is some of the most impressive stuff you'll ever see.
Yeah.
That mass coming towards you. We had a New Zealander who was like 17 who flew over to play for our first team in Colwyn Bay, and he could shift like no one I've ever seen. It was awesome. And then you can't wrap your hands around them. And, you know, Phil's one for law, so that would be immediate yellow card.
It's basically like going to Mo Farah before,
Where's this going?
A marathon. There you go, Mo. Carry that little rucksack with 5 kilograms in it. And then him still doing the same level of performance. Because some of these guys who are carrying a bit of extra timber, to play at an international level,
they don't get carried because it'd be impossible, but...
They're carrying this dead weight around and still at the highest level, still performing at really high levels. It's amazing. American football's one that gets me because there's some proper fat lads.
Oh, my word.
And they're massive but really fat.
Ryan Khalil or is it his brother? Is it Matthew Khalil, I think it is? Says, every night before bed, I have a 1,000-calorie shake, whether I need it or not.
And you can guarantee that most nights he does not need that 1,000-calorie shake.
That's exactly what they do.
Exactly.
So we mentioned some really fat and out-of-weight props. I've got a couple of very heavy props. Ben Tamaifuna.
Yeah, well said. Said like a native.
Native Maori, yes, like I am. Who plays for the Chiefs, who's 140 kg, 22 stone. And the Johnston boys, Census and James Johnson, both 138, pushing close to 22 stone.
Wonderful stuff.
You've forgotten Tilo.
Tilo?
Tilo. Trevaliota.
Oh, yes.
How can you get Trevaliota? Beautiful picture of him.
It's a nice tight fit in jersey.
Have you got Stephen Armitage in this team?
No.
Why
no.
have you not got Stephen Armitage in this team?
Well,
I leave you for two minutes.
You'd have to lose one of the back row. You'd lose Macca and put in Armitage.
You would lose about 40 kilograms by doing that.
Yeah.
But, yes.
And he was Europe's player of the season.
Have we got a hooker?
Leota.
Tilo.
Oh, Tilo, sorry.
Trevor Leota at hooker and...
I never said this before. Just remember, he had to have a minder from Wasps to make sure that he didn't go and get KFC.
The other hooker, who was the biggest of his day, was Steve Thompson. Close to 19 stone, but then when he retired, he got up to like 22 stone and had to shed it all.
Yeah, he did though.
He did, but then in the the Help for Heroes game where they played the England Legends.
Oh, yeah, he scored a little length of the try.
Yeah. But he's got to be more than 22 stone now. He looked massive.
That's a pretty awesome 15. I would go, which props would you go? I'd go Matt Dunning and Lowe in the middle.
Avion Lewis Roberts.
Aves.
He's so out of shape.
Aves and Matt Dunning.
Yeah, they've earned
with
that.
Tilo.
Yeah.
Love it. What a great 15. If there's anyone we've missed, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And
I'm sure there is.
Oh, there must be.
Tony Buckley. We missed him.
He's just big, though, isn't he?
He's just big. He's like...
And he's fat.
When we do a useless 15, we'll get him in. He can play with the likes of Halidin Luscombe and a few others. Nathan Budgett.
Yeah. Right, quick game of Just a Rugby Minute then. So we've got a topic and it's my turn to come up with something for Phil. Phil's going to try and talk about it for 1 minute. And if he fails, hesitates or can't say anything, then we move on to JB and so forth. Whoever's talking at the end of a minute is the winner. Phil, I would like you to talk for 1 minute about bubbling.
Bubbling is where you urinate into your own mouth.
If you add the word hot to bubbling, you also get the song from the mid-90s from Paso Banton, which has nothing to do with rugby, although he was a fan of the Jamaican national team, which is probably the owner of the fastest sevens team maybe in the world. Famous Jamaican players of Jamaican descent would include Hugo Monier? I don't know.
What's that got to do with bubbling? The most high-profile case of bubbling happened recently when National Rugby League player Todd Carney was photographed by a friend in a public lavatory urinating into his own mouth. This led to widespread Facebook bubbling, which became a bit of a craze. Todd Carney has been sacked from the...
twice.
Oh, it's fine.
I said Todd Carney. Oh, you're quite right. You're quite right.
Win for Phil.
Win for Phil.
Phil wins another one.
Technicality at the end. Oh, well, let's move on anyway.
Sorry, Ugamonia. You're not from... from Jamaica, but I just couldn't think of anyone fast at the time.
Fast.
Well, it's sevens team. Oh, Marlon Yard.
Club close up then. So we've been just having a look at some of the recruitment that's been going on and the relative chances of success of various teams, and we've been going through for the time being the Aviva Premiership. And we've done 8 of the teams. The next 2 we're going to look at is London Irish and Gloucester. Now, if we have a look at the state of their stash, we'll have a look at the state of their recruitment, and we'll have a look at the state of their chances for the coming season. 2 teams that didn't perform especially well last year. Let's start with London Irish. Let's just deal with their stash. They've changed to O'Neill's.
Yeah.
For me,
from ISC, you loved their kit last year, didn't you, Jay? Phil,
I did.
I can't understand that.
I really like that ISC kit.
Only way you could like that kit is if, when you first saw it, you'd been pleasured by 3 Victoria's Secret models, and it's burnt into your psyche. It's not a good kit.
I thought it was a lovely kit. Good colour, well made.
What do you think of their new one? I'm a bit like meh about it. It's kind of nothing.
Yeah, I'm not. It doesn't score highly for me, I'm afraid.
I prefer the emerald green to the dark green that they had last year.
I prefer the dark green.
But it's kind of just a kit. It's just plain. It's like an island shirt, but they've changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. I've just had a look at it. I don't like it.
Yeah, let's not talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
It's offensive.
Let's move on from that. They had a disappointing season.
Yeah.
You'd have to say.
Did they have a disappointing season? Because I kind of think that they kind of shocked themselves. I think they thought they were going to do worse.
I don't know about that. Well, if you actually look back at their signings last year, they signed a load of lads from the Championship. They were the better players. Their player of the season was a signing Blair Cowan from Worcester. Their player's player of the season was Nick Rouse.
Who's that then?
A lock from some lad.
Is anyone you know?
Oh, I might have met him a few times. Christmas's birthdays, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Weddings and all that. Yeah, he was a signing from Nottingham. And then in the front row, you had guys like Matt Parr, who played really, really well and stepped up and did well. And Eamon Sheridan in the centre. So they lost a load of players to London Irish West, Bath. And they got in a load of guys from the Championship and stayed in the division, which...
Yeah, and their biggest name signings were James O'Connor and CJ Van der Linde.
Who didn't play.
James O'Connor looked good when he played, but didn't always play.
So just from what you're saying then, I think they have had a good season. And they've probably overachieved.
Well, I would say that they missed Halani Alika the whole season, their tight head prop, linchpin in the scrum, and they missed David Pace for most of the season, who, when he was playing, I was looking at him going, he could well be the best English hooker.
Now, yeah, because he
was awesome.
Capped, isn't he?
He was awesome when he did play, but he didn't play very much. The signings they've made, I look at the actual signings and there's no big names. I think what they've done is signed a lot of depth.
Quite a few internationals in there.
Yeah.
But no, there's no James O'Connor who's like a star.
You could make an amazing team out of players that have left London Irish in the last three seasons.
Yes, definitely.
You could make an awesome international team out of that.
Maybe we'll do that on a future pod.
You just think off the top of your head, Corbisiero, the Armitage brothers.
The London Irish all-time 15.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph.
Matt Garvey.
Yeah,
Jamie Gibson.
Yeah, and the guys that aren't... James Gibson and David Ceci, who's on the fringes at Bath in the back row there as well. They've got some really... They've got an amazing academy production line.
I thought they were taken over by that wealthy consortium.
I wonder if that will change things.
I thought that has changed things, which is why they're able to keep people now. And I tell you the guy that I really like for London Irish, didn't play a lot last year, but when he did come on, he looked really good. The ginger
Tom,
lad who
Tom
plays
Homer.
Football, I like
Homer.
Him a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's back. I don't see it being a season where they're gonna threaten the top of the division, but I see them doing better than they did last year, personally. If Orlika and Pace are back and they've got a little bit more depth, so when they do get the odd injury, they can cope.
Okay, do you want to go into Gloucester before we pick the positions that they're going to be in the league?
Now, it was interesting. When we went to BT Sport and Austin Healy and Ben Kay and the boy, we were sort of sat in the green room and they were having a natter. They were all saying that they wrote down their top fours in an envelope and sealed them and put them away. And Austin Healy gave us a little bit of a tip off. He said,
"Hang on, do we know what the top fours were that they wrote down? Because they would have released them by now."
They would have talked about it, yeah. But Austin Healy gave us a little tip off and he said, "There's a few of the boys, I reckon," and I think he was talking about himself as well, who put Gloucester in their top four last year. So they had a woeful season on that basis.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely woeful. And we've talked about it all season long. A big part of that was the front five, wasn't it?
Yeah, they really, really struggled.
Pathetic. I think that's a word that you'd look for, pathetic. I think it summed it up when we watched, who were they playing against? And the driving more defence was to hold on and be dragged. It was incredible. The two at the same time.
It was the anchor defence. Just grab people around the legs and fall on the floor.
Fall on the floor, yeah. Well, they couldn't. I don't think they could have done a lot better in terms of their recruitment. John Afoa, Richard Hibbard
for the front
row.
For the front row, that's super. That's excellent.
That's really. That's yeah.
Yeah, that's two.
You can build around it now. If you've got a kid who was struggling last year, might be getting better. Now you can choose when to bring that guy through rather than just throw him in.
Yeah, two proven internationals there.
Exactly. So that's good. The disappointing one would be. Oh, Ian Evans is available. Let's not sign him.
Let's sign Tom Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 35. He was playing good rugby four or five years ago, but not so much anymore.
It's not so much the age. It's actually just watching him play for Wasps. It wasn't the same Tom Palmer. It wasn't the same.
They've also signed an Argentinian second row.
Galazza,
but from Worcester.
I mean, whether Laidlaw is going to be a massive improvement at nine over what they had last year, I don't know. But Hook and 12 trees could be really interesting, couldn't they?
Yeah, and Trinder is an excellent outside centre. And then they've got Pace on the wings with May, Sharples, James Simpson-Daniels if he gets back fit.
I think they're one of those teams that, bearing in mind, they haven't quite got the pack now that they used to have traditionally. Gloucester was always about the big pack.
Yeah.
And they've had this back since struggling in the fours long enough. If there was a team that I would say would benefit from going out to an artificial pitch, it'd probably be Gloucester.
At the moment,
yes.
They'll never do it because it's not that's not the Gloucester way. They love their big forwards.
Well, I say that, but they haven't had a big pack for a long time.
Yeah. I think they'll do better than last year, but I don't think they'll be threatening the top four.
Well, we've been putting people in positions as we've been talking about them in pairs. So what have we got the table so far? We've got...
You missed out the kit.
Oh, the kit.
Gloucester kit.
Oh,
the
goodness
kit.
Well, me.
Sorry, JB. They're keeping the same kit as last year, which
The Magna Clean.
Is an abomination.
It looks like it's been designed by a five-year-old. Here's the shame of it, though.
Worst kit in the Premiership.
Yeah. The shame of it is, they have half the solution there, because if you bring up a picture of their kit. You see the home kit and the away kit. Now, the away kit, again, is atrocious. So I saw I saw them play in their away kit against Wasps in their horrible St. George's Day kit, and I literally, I couldn't tell you who was playing. I didn't know.
It's the pink and blue one, isn't it?
But half the solution is in that pink and blue kit. Can you see it?
What mixed the blue?
The blue shorts, the traditional blue Gloucester shorts with the red striped top.
I do
That's
like that.
That's what they
that
need to
look.
Do.
I do like that old look from the old days with... Yeah. Vickery running down the wing in his blue shorts.
Exact Gloucester. You know what to do. You've already done it once. It's the blue shorts, a little bit of red trim, maybe heavy cotton if you really want to go there. and then the cherry and white. It's so simple. And when you've got something as elegant as the cherry and white hoops, why have you added these silly little white panels? Why?
I know.
Well, part of the problem with the kit last year was also that it was modelled by Freddie Burns.
Yeah, that won't be happening this
and
year.
And it was three sizes too big for him. So, yeah, just get 12 trees or someone like that. Get a foa.
I was just looking at past Gloucester kits and it looks like they've been taking mushrooms. Like, here's one here. Do you know they had the red panel and the red panel and then white down the side? No, that's wrong.
This old Juicen one is nice. That's just classic red and white.
If they come out again wearing this awful kit, so what I'm going to tell them to do is they should all the team, starting 15, just go to a sports shop and buy some Wigan kit. Because that's what they should be looking like, really.
I think they're... What positions have we got left?
We've got Northampton finishing second, Bath finishing third, Quinns fifth, Wasp seventh, Sale eighth, Exeter 10th, London Welsh 11th, Newcastle 12th, which means 1st, 4th, 6th and 9th are available.
Then I'd go probably, you have to be a better man and go Gloucester 6th, London Irish 9th.
I'd go with that.
Yeah, I think so.
Happy with that?
I was thinking maybe higher, but then I thought no, because we're missing the Titans, which are Leicester and Saris.
Leicester and Saris to talk about next time out.
Yeah, one in 1st and one in 4th. That'd be an interesting discussion.
Interesting discussion. Which we'll get to next time.
Do you know what? Oh, that's the kit, the Gloucester kit with Uniport on it.
That's the one that Olivier Azam and who was that flight of Frederic Mercier when they had when they had a 10-man team. Oh. They used to kick
and who was the
kick
nine
and ruck and maul.
And who's the nine?
Was it Gomesall?
Nope. Dmitry Yashvili.
Yashvili? Well, of course he was.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good Gloucester team.
Wasn't it just?
Well, no. They played really ugly rugby.
Well,
but
they played
were
under Saint-André then, didn't they? Yeah. They were quite good.
There's a beauty in the rolling mall, and I love it, and they did it non-stop.
They've got the DNA to be a good team. They just need to... I don't know what's happening, but they need to sort it out.
Can I just mention, by the way, Magnus Lund signing for Sale Sharks. There's been loads of signings and London Welsh got a few more, but I think we should just mention Magnus Lund. I love the picture that the BBC Rugby Union page have got of Magnus Lund. Right, so this is meant to be a Magnus Lund, Sale Sharks re-sign former flanker from Beerit. The picture that they've chosen is Magnus Lund dropping the ball whilst he's getting smashed to the ground. Look.
Is he offloading? I hope he's offloading.
He's smashed by a 13 as well.
Smashed by an outside centre. Maybe he's just dumped to the ground and dropping the ball. That's the picture that BBC have selected.
Poor old Magnus.
The other thing in the local press that me and you read on Saturday,
The South Manchester Reporter.
Yeah, it was an interview with Steve Diamond when he'd signed, and it was Steve Diamond being Steve Diamond, making it all about him.
His
opening line was, "I gave him his debut back in 2002.
Nothing to do with, we're delighted to have Magnus on board. It's a real coup for the club. I gave him his debut.
He started this podcast, did he not?
Steve Diamond?
Yeah. He was indirectly responsible. I'm the most interesting man in rugby.
We have one further bit of business on this week's podcast, and that is the Fan Free Agency. Now, let's just remind ourselves of the situation. Phil, for the first time, is facing a rugby season not as a player. He's been man and boy at Sedgley Park. And the thing about playing rugby at a good level, as Phil got to the championship and stuff, is you don't follow a team other than England.
And the team you're playing for.
And the team you're playing for, exactly. So he's never tasted what it's like to be a fan. We want to change that. Phil wants a team. So he's a fan free agent, and with the team he selects is going to be decided by the pitches and the, like, think of like Dragon's Den, but your club is the product,
and he's the only dragon,
and he's the only dragon.
Yes,
yep. Where's Scott Quinnell with the dragons? Bring on the dragons! So that's what we want from you. And there's been some more people getting in touch.
Well,
before you do,
play his music.
Play Phil's music. There we go. Littlest Hobo music. Keeps on calling me. Come on then, JB.
Okay, well, this individual is actually part of the club itself and is director of social media.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty cool, eh? Okay, he also puts, apologies for the rather rushed nature of this submission. I couldn't quite be arsed. So,
honesty. <Yeah. laughs>
So, apathy. Big club is from one of the directors. So, Old Sullions RFC, Lansdowne Road, Bath. History. Sullions were founded in 1926 by Arnold Ridley, famous for playing the weak-bladed Private Godfrey in 1970s sitcom Dad's Army. Sullions have maintained the club in proud tradition of urinary incontinence ever since. Nice.
Nice.
And if our regular post-game bubbling sessions don't attract Phil, sure. I'm not sure what will. That took me by surprise. I've not read this yet. Ground. Sullions play on top of Old Lansdowne Hill in Bath. Do you know where this is?
Yes.
Have you played there?
I've not played on that pitch, but I know exactly where it is. It's a beautiful spot. It's a nice part of Bath, there's no bad parts of Bath.
Yeah, it's not like the ghetto part of Bath, is it? Like the east side?
No, like I lived in, in fact, bought my first house in the student area, which supposedly the area for ruffians. It's still gorgeous Georgian limestone, lovely. Yeah,
sounds good. Great. Sounds like Newcastle. In the summer, the spectacular view from the pitches stretches out across the city and fields of Somerset to Glastonbury.
Ooh.
The Mendips and beyond. Unfortunately, we play in the winter, when the only reason players are willing to brave the horizontal hail smashing into their faces is that they can't see through the fog. Playing style. Sullions' fast attacking playing style is dictated by the fact that their back three are all young, small and light. Unfortunately, the front three are all young, small and light. That's not the middle nine.
Sounds like Gloucester.
There were some games last season against huge tattooed Bristolians or massive Somerset Farmers that are now set a subject to inquiry by Operation U-Tree. it felt like his rugby to consist of one side engaged in 79 minutes of last ditch try line defence, then he'll be spoiled at Sullions.
He does love that. He does love a rear guard action.
Atmosphere. Lansdowne Road is rightly famous for its intense partisan atmosphere.
Can I stop you? This is a hastily done short entry.
Yeah, it's really good. Come on. It's the best one we've had.
I know, very funny.
Loud, passionate supporters. Coincidentally, Sullions Grounds has the same name, although it is less convenient for Dublin city centre. As a contributor to the Egg Chasers podcast, we feel Phil will be right at home. Conclusion. We may be small, under-resourced club playing in lower leagues in the west of England, but does that mean Phil's experience as a fan of Sullions will be poorer than if he chose Bath or Leicester? Of course. What a stupid question. I realise that I could have sold the club a bit more, but JB was harassing me to send it before you recorded this week's show. Oh, and the Commonwealth Sevens are on. Why is he watching Commonwealth Sevens? Maybe his TV's broke. So, that's from Mikey Rich, Director of Social Media.
Good work, Mikey Rich.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
I did.
I love the post-match bubbling sessions.
Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
We could even get a game if we went there. I could get a game.
Almost certainly. So, I think Old Sullions RFC are going to go through to Boot Room.
Yes.
Results. Wow. Phil's going to bubble in celebration. Off you go, Phil.
Go get bubbling.
Yeah, Phil.
Well,
go get in there, JB.
This is not nice. This is not nice. It stings. Well, we're all going to go down to Bath at some point, so we might give him a visit anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're through to Boot Room.
Yeah. Well then, boys.
Along with Ulster, Leicester, Bath.
Yep.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it so far.
So Old Sullion doing esteemed company.
Well done, guys. Well done indeed.
If you want to make a pitch, if you've got a club that's got something to offer and you would like us to come and do podcasts, watch games, buy the shirt, become paid-up members...
Well, Phil.
Phil.
If you want us to spend Phil's money on your merchandise, yes, send exactly. us a pitch.
And we'll say that by the time the first week of the season comes around, Phil will have had to have made up his mind, which means if you haven't already, then get on your bike and get suggesting.
Next week we'll have Harlequins.
Ooh.
And we'll have London Irish.
I might be swayed towards Harlequins.
Well, indeed. Indeed. And now we're having high-level conversations with the Harlequins. Yes.
And get your suggestion in.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a quick round of Just a Rugby Minute then. JB, you're picking something for me now.
Leslie Vinicolo.
Leslie Vinicolo, a Bradford Bulls rugby league player, converted by the RFU and sort of given to Gloucester as a way of getting him into rugby union. He was part of the World Cup squad in 2007. I believe, I don't know, damn it!
On his Gloucester debut, he scored 5 tries, which was consistent with his form for Bradford, where he was top try scorer in the Super League for many years. He had an off-field incident when he
I know what you're going to say!
Oh,
damn it!
When he was...
JB.
He had red braids in his hair for a short period of time whilst playing for the international team. And after playing for Gloucester, moved over to France, where he went into a rugby slumber and then achieved nothing further. Originally from New Zealand, he grew up playing rugby league for the New Zealand Warriors. Does that not count New Zealand Warriors?
He played for New Zealand international team.
And New Zealand Warriors.
Did he play
Canberra Raiders?
Oh, I was wrong.
Oh, I technically get a win.
Yeah, there. You win.
Well done, Tim.
As a technicality, I didn't really deserve it.
God
my
damn.
Pitiful effort to start with. Well, we're done for another podcast. Phil, represent us with pride when you meet all the Harlequins boys down at the kit launch on Wednesday.
I'll try. Have we got the Egg Chasers Club ties yet?
Not yet.
Can sort that out, though.
Yeah, we need a close...
We need a crest, like a proper crest, we should do.
We're getting a bit partridge there if we go with a blazer crest and...
I would go for a crest.
Oh, you mean a crest on the tie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like a badge
on the...
for your blazer.
Ooh.
Don't give him ideas, Tim.
Ooh, that's nice.
Badge and tie set.
Yeah.
No, Egg Chaser ties, the club tie, that might be a good
shout.
You can
dishing out club ties
to give them away for exceptional contributions towards the podcast. Yeah, well, we'll look into that. But, Phil, represent us with pride, do us proud, and we look forward to firstly seeing the Harlequins kit and check out Rugby Podcast, and Phil will be there tweeting pictures, interviewing players and giving you a behind-the-scenes look at one of the most eagerly anticipated kits in rugby history, and then obviously keep your contributions coming at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
And nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
We'll catch you in a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.